Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. It is my joy to be with you this morning and to bring you greetings from the 130 other congregations and worshiping communities, our five campus ministries, our university, our seminary, our agencies and institutions. It is a joy to be here, and I give thanks to God for your significant ministry in this place and for your partnership in the gospel. Thank you for your generosity, and thank you for the way you are making a difference in this part of Texas. I also want to spend just a moment to give thanks for your pastor, Carolyn, who is one of our conference deans and has been very busy because we've had a lot of ordinations and installations, thanks be to God, within your conference of the Capitol North. So thank you for sharing her gifts with us in leadership. So it's just 3 days till Christmas. Did anybody forget that? How are you feeling about that? Have you bought and wrapped and sent all of your presents? Mailed your Christmas cards if you still have that archaic practice? Planned your menu and bought all of your groceries? And for those of you who want to take time off during the holidays, things are probably twice as busy at work right now to prepare for that. And for some of you, there are month-end and year-end closings that have you working a lot of overtime. The kids are counting down the days with excitement, wishing the days would go quicker, but many adults, we're praying for more hours in each day, right? Just to get everything done. Then there are those of you who perhaps are dreading the holidays because you've lost a loved one and Christmas reminds you of him or her. Or maybe your holiday get-togethers resemble the family feud. Or maybe you're spending Christmas at home. I hope at least some of you were able to find comfort in last evening's longest night service. Whoever said Christmas is about peace on earth must have been dreaming. With all the emotional and physical demands at this time of the season, it's easy for tempers to flare. We may just want to keep our heads down to just get through the holidays, sometimes with gritted teeth. But we're not here to just get through the holidays or get through life, are we? God created us for a different purpose. And whenever we gather here together in worship, we are reminded that we are called to do more than just get through it. Here is where we hear that good news once again, and we are strengthened to do more than just get through it. So right now, in the midst of all of the things going on in your minds, let's all take a deep breath and pray. Lord Jesus, fill us with your peace and love. Lord Jesus, turn our hearts and minds to you. Amen. In today's gospel lesson, Matthew shares with us a version of the birth of Jesus that we only get to hear every 3 years here. And unlike Luke's familiar story, which we read every Christmas Eve, that is full of beautiful imagery of the shepherds and the angels singing glory to God in the highest, Matthew is very sparse in his details of the immediate events leading up to Jesus' birth. And unlike Luke, who speaks of the Christ child's conception and birth from the perspective of Mary, the mother of our Lord, Matthew is more focused on Joseph, the one who is often the unsung hero. Joseph is an ordinary man who gets caught up in the grand purposes of God. And in today's gospel, we get a glimpse of the particular way in which God acts through ordinary people like Joseph. Joseph, we read in the story, is a righteous man, a fine, upstanding Jew who keeps the Torah, the law. And he was engaged to Mary, and then he found out that Mary was pregnant, and he knew that he was not the father. This was considered, of course, adultery on the part of Mary, and Joseph had the right to hold a public trial and even have Mary executed. Women at that time, after all, were simply considered the property of men. But Joseph, we read, was also merciful. He wanted to spare Mary's life and some of her dignity. So he planned to send her away quietly. But what happens? An angel of the Lord appears to him and fills him in on the real story. The baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and Mary was not unfaithful to him. And the angel tells him, "Don't worry. Take Mary as your wife anyway. And when this child is born, you will name him Jesus, which means he will save." What a fantastic, unbelievable tale. So what does Joseph do? He trusts and obeys God. He takes Mary as his wife. He uses his privilege as an upstanding male citizen to protect Mary and her child, even though it would have meant shame for himself within the eyes of his community. You know, the biggest miracle in this story, dare I say it, may not be the virgin birth. The miracle to which Matthew draws our attention is that Joseph believes what he hears and acts upon it. He could have ignored the dream or chalked it up to a night of bad mushu pork. After all, why would the great and powerful God come to an ordinary man like Joseph? But instead, he was able to see the dream for what it was. A nudge from God, a God nudge, and he acted on it, regardless of the consequences. And the gospel writer wanted to make sure and show us that Joseph didn't just disappear after the wise men left the scene. Rather, he continued to act on God nudges. In another dream, Joseph learns of the dangers threatening his new family, because Herod is about to slaughter all of the firstborn Hebrew babies. And so he leads his family on a holy flight to Egypt. And later on, God nudges him and his family back to Israel so that Jesus can carry out his mission. Joseph does more than keep his head down and try to get through life. He keeps alert for those God nudges, and then he acts in obedience to God. Joseph was an ordinary man through whom God accomplished extraordinary things because he trusted and obeyed God. And God wants to use each one of us, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things also. God wants us to do more than just keep our heads down and get through the holidays or get through life. God is always inviting ordinary people like us to be part of God's great purposes of saving the whole world. We each have a part to play in God's story. Joseph knew how to live expectantly and love abundantly, and God calls us to do the same. Live expectantly, love abundantly is our synod theme for the coming year that began this fall and will carry us through our synod assembly. Live expectantly means we pay attention, that we expect God to show up in all sorts of ways throughout our day. And when God shows up and gives us a God nudge, we act. We respond by loving abundantly, by giving ourselves in love and service to others without counting the cost. Like picking up the phone and calling someone we've been thinking about, even though we have a lot of errands to run. Or answering a request to help in some small or big way, even when we don't think we have the gifts or the strength to do it. Or reaching out to someone who has wronged us, extending forgiveness before they ask for it, even though we know that they should be the ones reaching out first. Or treating the interruptions in our lives not as frustrations, but as holy opportunities to be Christ to someone in need. We often have no idea what the ripple effects of those simple acts are, but God does. Sometimes God nudges are small, and sometimes they're big. Maybe some of you have heard about our newest ministry, Eagle Pass Frontera Ministries, that provides overnight shelter and spiritual care for those who are seeking asylum. It's part now of an interfaith network of care on both sides of the border to the southwest of us. Vicar Julio, who is at San Lucas in Eagle Pass, and his wife Emma began this ministry after a small God nudge. A local Methodist pastor who runs Mission Border Hope called them one day last spring to ask them to shelter a few people who had already been processed as asylum seekers and had come too late in the day to take a bus to San Antonio. Now, Emma and Julio could have ignored God, saying that it was too big or too hard, but they felt moved to love abundantly. So they said yes to one night and a few people, and then more nights and more people. And before the Remain in Mexico policy began, at one point they were sheltering 40 people or more each night at San Lucas Lutheran Church. And even after that policy began, they continue to receive the most vulnerable migrants who are deemed too sick or too at risk to return to Mexico. And now, lately, they receive people from other parts of the world who aren't bound by this policy to keep out Central and South Americans. So now they are welcoming Haitians and Congolese, to name a few. They can't speak to them in their home languages, but their love and care for them conveys the love of Jesus. Lately, God has been nudging Emma to go across the international bridge every day to bring food and supplies to those who are waiting on the other side. When they responded to that first God nudge, they had no idea where it would all lead. And now people all over the country who have been receiving God nudges themselves to help on the border in some way are sending money and supplies, and they're visiting and volunteering. And Emma and Julio are experiencing God's abundant love through them. God shows up, whether we expect God or not. But when we're paying attention, we get the privilege of being part of God's saving plan for the world. Remember, life is not something we've got to get through. Rather, it's we get to go through, it's a gift. It is an adventure. And through all this life and adventure, God promises us Emmanuel. God will be with us to save us, to guide us, to strengthen and nourish us, and to use us ordinary people in extraordinary ways. So in the midst of all the busyness of this season, I encourage you to live expectantly, pay attention to those God nudges, and love abundantly for the sake of the world God loves. And just watch what God does with your simplest acts of love. Amen.